Our reading this morning will be taken from the book of John, the 5th chapter, verse 24. It's John 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life.
May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading and hearing of his holy word. Thank you for being in our assembly today as we look at some very comforting words for us from the Gospel of John, chapter 5 and verse 24. During the years of the Great Depression, a man by the name of W. Oliver Cooper had a little girl, and he loved this girl with all his heart. And just 2 years after she was born, his wife died, leaving him to raise this young girl on his own. This precious little girl was just the pride and joy of his life, the apple of his eye. And then the daughter died. For years after this, Mr. Cooper was very angry, and he held a great bitterness in his heart, even toward God. One day, when he was feeling like he was nearly at the end of his rope, he threw himself on his bed, and in his heart, not wanting to live, he just verbally cried out, "God, it's just not worth it." And maybe at the hearing of those words actually vocalized, something came over him, and he was reminded that one day all of the struggles of this life would be gone, and it would be worth it all. And with those thoughts in mind, he wrote what is in our hymn book, is number 253, "Heaven Will Surely Be Worth It All." These are the lyrics to that song. "Often I'm hindered on my way, burden so heavy I almost fall. Then I hear Jesus sweetly say, heaven will surely be worth it all. Many the trials, toils, and tears, many a heartache may here appall, but the dear Lord so truly says, heaven will surely be worth it all. Toiling in pain I will endure till I shall hear the death angel call. Jesus has promised, and I am sure, heaven will surely be worth it all. Heaven will surely be worth it all, worth all the storms that here befall. After this life, with all its strife, heaven will surely be worth it all." Those words seem to have more meaning to us when we understand the circumstances under which they were written, don't they? As we journey through life, we're constantly faced with times of distress and difficulty, doubt and despair, and these things seem to plague us just as long as we live here. Surely it is true that there are many things in this life which bring us great joy, and we could make a list of those things, and as we thought long and hard about them, the list would just keep going, wouldn't it? There are also many things that bring us an abundance of sorrow and heartache, suffering. The sorrows and suffering that men face in life should really make the promises of God that much more appealing to us, don't you think? And in contemplating the reward that God has for the faithful, surely, surely heaven will be worth it all. Surely. If we are children of God, we have an enduring hope that troublesome days will come to an end. In Romans 8, in verse 18, Paul wrote and said, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us." And he could firmly and confidently make that statement. And in verse 25 of Romans 8, "But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we eagerly wait for it. The day is coming, and may be soon, when God's children go to their eternal home. And it won't be until then that we fully realize the truthfulness of Mr. Cooper's words when he penned them, and those words were set to music. As we look into God's Word, we cannot overlook the sorrow and the difficulties that God's people faced through history. Joseph endured great trouble. Think about all the trouble and suffering that Moses had to endure, wandering especially through the wilderness for 40 years after being turned away from the promised land because God's people rejected God. Joshua and Caleb wanted to enter the promised land but had to wander in the wilderness for those 40 years just like Moses did because of the stubbornness of the people. They didn't trust God. God's preachers' lives were filled with trouble in the Old Testament. Ezra, Nehemiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all suffering prophets of God. And many others were presented with suffering and difficulties, but here's the thing. They endured. They persevered. They held up under the difficulties. Paul and others in the New Testament suffered a great amount of persecution, but here's the thing. They endured. They persevered. They held up under the difficulties. Hebrews chapter 11 presents a whole gallery of faithful men and women who suffered hardship for the Lord, and yet they were faithful to the end. Now, how is it that a person normally thinking, how is it that a person who suffers so greatly for whatever cause can persevere through that suffering and that difficulty, the trials and the problems, all the heartache and all the suffering, how is it that they can hold up and it be said of them that they endured that for something? That something must be pretty great, mustn't it? To endure under circumstances like that? How? How did these people endure such trouble and remain faithful to God? I think that's a great question, don't you? The Bible has the answer. In Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 13, here's what the inspired Word of God says. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. How did they endure such trouble? How were they able to bear up under the sufferings and the trials of their lives and hold out because of faith? Their faith in God, their belief in God, their trust in God. And through this faith, they saw the promises from a distance and welcomed them, the writer says. They sought a country of their own, not one where they were strangers and exiles on the earth. And they desired a better, a heavenly country in a city prepared for them by God. That's how they were able to do it. Now, you may have had a life of ease and careless pleasure and not so difficult things. And I guess maybe you're a young person if you're in that category. But the longer you live, the more subject you will be to the trials and the tests of this life. How will you make it? If you're going to make it, you have to be a person who has faith. You have to be a person who has faith in God, who sees the promises of God even though you don't possess them in your hand. You see them afar off and you welcome those promises because you desire them, you want them. And you're seeking a country that is one that you can take full possession of, and it's not living on this life as a stranger and an exile and a pilgrim. You must have a desire in your heart for a better country, a heavenly one, a city prepared for God. And God tells us about that in His Word. That's how you make it. That's how these men and women were able to endure great suffering and trouble in their lives, because they could see something that could not be seen with their physical eyes. They saw with the eyes of faith. They could see a promised land of rest that was beyond their current world. Do you and I see that through the eyes of faith today? That's what's going to be there to help us persevere and make it. They saw it as a sure and certain reward for the faithful. Do you trust God that much? I hope that you do. I hope that you do, because heaven and its hope will be burning brightly in your heart if you do. These men and women knew that the reality of that heavenly reward was worth whatever trouble came their way in this life. Whatever trouble, whatever suffering, whatever trial, whatever price they had to pay, whatever suffering they had to endure, heaven was surely worth it all. And we won't feel that way if we are people who do not have faith in the living God. Heaven will surely be worth it all. How can you say that, mister? Because it's a place of great joy for the faithful people of God. In Matthew 25:14-30, the parable of the talents, Jesus tells us something about a future reward by showing us two faithful servants who were entrusted with the stewardship of the master's possession, and they carried out their work faithfully, and then when the master came to settle accounts with them, they were welcomed into the joy of your master, the record says. Surely, as stewards of the gospel of Christ, with a work to be carried out faithfully, we too can look forward to a time when we are welcomed into the joy of our master. In Revelation 7 and verse 17, the record shows that in heaven, God will wipe away every tear from the eyes of the saints. Revelation 21 and verse 4 repeats this promise, and it adds something to it. Here's what the Word of God says. Revelation 21 and verse 4. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain, for the first things have passed away. John says that in heaven our sorrows will be removed. They'll be wiped away, taken away. Are you living with a broken heart today over some condition in this life? Are you discouraged? Are you depressed about things? Does it seem like you're just worn out, defeated, tired, frustrated? Maybe you are struggling with the pains of a torn marriage, a job loss, or maybe you have lost a loved one to death. How many times have you, like David, cried yourself to sleep? He says in Psalm 6, in verse 6, every night I make my bed swim. I dissolve my couch with tears. My eye has wasted away with grief. Maybe you've gone through something in your life where you felt that way. And maybe you've cried a great deal about it. And if these sufferings are present in your life, then you need to know that when you go to your eternal home, there will be some hands there that will put them gently on your face, figuratively speaking, touch your cheeks, caress your face, and wipe away every tear forever. Gone. John also says that in heaven there will be no more death. Heaven is a city that has no funeral homes, no funeral processions, no hearse, no cemetery, no tombstones. In heaven, the word goodbye will never be spoken. And John says that in heaven there will be no pain. We've all seen people suffer in this life. We know people that are hurt. We know people that are hurting even today. We know people that have endured or are enduring some agonizing pain. I have known people who were suffering so much that they told me how they looked forward to dying so they wouldn't have to suffer anymore. In heaven, there will be no suffering of any kind, which means no heart attacks, no dreaded disease of cancer, no arthritis, no diabetes, no physical handicaps of any sort. In heaven, our bodies will never hurt again because God will remove all pain and all sickness for all eternity. In heaven, no one will get hurt. There will be no abortion clinics in heaven. There will be no jails, no missing children, no killings, no wars, no unemployment, no taxes, no bills, no marches against crime, no hospitals, no pollution. Nobody will ever go hungry. And absolutely nothing will ever grow old. That's heaven. No termites will eat the foundation out of heaven. That's heaven. Fire cannot destroy it. Floods cannot wash it away. The doors are not locked in heaven because no evil person will be there to break in and to steal everything of value. That's heaven. No one's going to hurt you there. In heaven, we will only know happiness because the things of this life that have caused us sorrow and pain and suffering will not exist. That's the city of God. In heaven, we will finally be able to rest. Revelation 14 and verse 13, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on." Yes, says the Spirit, "so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them." Rest from their labors. Heaven will surely be worth it all, won't it? As a place of great joy for the faithful. Great joy. Great joy. Amen. Heaven will surely be worth it all. If for no other reason, because we'll be in the presence of God. It staggers the mind to understand that in our heavenly home we will actually be in the presence of our Almighty God. The Bible does teach that God is with Christians during this present life, but there is a difference between God being with us here as we live in this earth among temporal things. There is a difference in that and our being in the presence of God in the heavenly realms. Paul made it clear in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8 that believers were quite content to leave this world behind. Is this the way you feel? 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8, "We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord." You know, growing up, there were many times in my life when, maybe at school or some other place, I really couldn't wait to get home. Because I love my home. There's just something special about walking through the door of home. No matter what happened during the day, when I got home, nothing in the world could bother me. Nothing could tear me apart. I was at home. At home, I could feel safe, and I knew that I was loved no matter what. Home was my favorite place to be. And I still feel that way about home. But notice that when believers go home, notice who they are with when they go. They are with the Lord. And this is the Christian's permanent residence. It's not temporary. We're at home with the Lord. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 13, about Christians being with the Lord. And here's what he said. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep or those who have passed away, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope, so that you won't grieve like unbelievers. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. Those who have died in Christ, died as believers, still have hope, Paul is saying. And in verse 16, he says, the dead in Christ will rise first. And in verse 17, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And notice what he says next. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Man, that's powerful, isn't it? Therefore, comfort one another with these words. I sincerely hope my words to you this morning have great comfort for you. I may not know all the difficulties and trials that are going on in your life right now, but I hope these words will be of comfort to you if you're a Christian. If you're living a life of faith, know that no matter how bad things get here, keep your faith. Keep it. Because that's what's going to bring you into the presence of Almighty God, and you will always be with the Lord. Truly, the Lord is with us in some sense on the earth now. Jesus promised his disciples that he would always be with them. Matthew 28 and verse 20. And when he comes again, we'll be with him in a greater sense. At that time, we will be given incorruptible bodies, Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians 15 and in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. Always being with the Lord are words that we comfort one another with. We provide consolation to each other by talking about that. We provide encouragement for each other when we talk about the hope that we have in heaven, don't we? We sing about heaven today. Isn't that encouraging for us as believers? We're leaving a land of sorrow and we're going to a land of great joy. Again, that wonderful picture in Revelation 7 and verse 15 shows the faithful saints in the presence of God. And here's what the inspired Word of God says. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and they serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tabernacle over them. Friends, heaven will surely be worth it all, because we will be with our Lord. And thirdly, and finally, heaven will be worth it all because it lasts forever. You know, we've enjoyed some good things in life, haven't we? Haven't we had some good times and good pleasures and good experiences? And we've had things so good and so joyful and so pleasant happen to us in our lives that we're thinking, oh, it just can't get any better than this. Do I need to remind you what some of those things are? You've had some good things happen in your life, haven't you? But those things don't last forever, do they? But think about good that lasts forever. And it's really good. Nothing in this life lasts. We live in a world where moth and rust destroys everything that we work hard to retain, where thieves break through and steal, that Jesus reminded us of in Matthew 6 and verse 19. But our reward in heaven will never come to an end. Jesus repeatedly spoke of the certainty of eternal life. Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. Matthew 25, 46, these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. John 3, 15 and 16, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. These are just samples of many passages that we could read from the pages of our New Testament, showing us the promise of eternal life to those who are faithful to God. If God had chosen to make heaven last for 1,000 years, or 2,000 years, or 5,000 years, wouldn't it still be worth it to endure bad things in life, to hold on to faith and hold on to the hope of heaven, to go there, even if it lasted only for a short period of time? Wouldn't it still be worth it? Especially in comparison to this life, 80 years on the average. But God did not limit our heavenly reward. Heaven is eternal. It will never come to an end. And it will utterly swallow up all of the sufferings, all of the difficulties, the problems, the heartaches, the trouble of this life that happens to us only over a few years. You know, I think that when we see the Lord, all of our remembrance of our suffering and our trouble will just disappear. Don't you think so? When we see the reality of it, when we see our faith transform into reality, what will the trouble of this life mean to us then? Won't it lose its significance? Won't we lose all remembrance of the sorrow of these mere few years? Because it is eternal. Because it is not bound by time. Because past and future are swallowed up in the present. Surely, heaven will be worth it all. Heaven is going to be wonderful beyond our most fantastic thoughts. That's exciting to the believer. It's exciting to me. I hope it's exciting to you. Let's talk about it. Let's sing about it. Let's preach and teach about it to everyone that we can. Let's be preparing every day to go there, and let's be careful that we do not let anything destroy our faith and take that prize, that reward of heaven away from us because we become negligent and careless. Let it not be that way. Remember this, regardless of the problems that we face in life, the difficulties, the suffering, the pain, the heartaches, the cares we experience, or whatever might come our way as we live on this earth, be assured that it will fade away into complete nothingness. 2 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 16, here's what Paul said. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Now there's a man that keeps faith, keeps it strong. We do not lose heart. But though our outward man is decaying, though our physical body is preparing to go in the grave where corruption is, Yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Now notice this. For a momentary, light affliction, he calls it, is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. You just can't compare. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. May God help us keep our eyes on the eternal and be faithful to Him, that we might enjoy that reward. And we will enjoy it beyond our wildest dreams, because it's real and it's from God. Now, if you're not a Christian today, can you expect to go to heaven if you're not a Christian? If you don't do what the Lord said do in order for Him to put you in fellowship and the right relationship with Him, you must be forgiven of your sins. You must believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He's the one that makes heaven possible for all of us. You have to have the moral conviction and the courage to stand publicly and say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And you know, many have lost their lives for that confession through the years. It's not just a mere formality. It's saying what is in your heart. And you're ready to endure whatever comes your way because this is your belief, this is your conviction, and you stand on it. And in that belief and in that conviction, you have to turn away from sin. You have to repent of the sins that you've committed in the past. You have to be forgiven of those sins. And Jesus said the way to do it is to be baptized in water. Immersed in water for the forgiveness of sin. And when you come up out of the water, every sin that you've ever committed is gone. Removed, taken away by the precious blood of Christ. And that puts you in a relationship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and every other believer. And if you maintain that relationship and you keep faith in God, then whatever trouble this life brings for you, that you patiently endure, you know that you have a home in heaven when you die. Boy, that's real life right there. And if we can help you with that today, we'd be delighted to add another believer to this fold. We'd be delighted to help you and encourage you, keep you strong, and help keep that hope burning brightly in your heart. We'll do anything that we can to do that because we all want to go to heaven. The alternative is not pleasant at all. Can we help you today? If we can, please come to the front and let us know while we stand together and encourage you by singing this song, number 276.